Welcome to The Leaky Nib, a podcast about pens. This show is not suitable for work because swearing is encouraged.
It's like a pen show after dark, but it's a podcast.
I'm Kat Palmisano.
And I'm John Phelan.
Welcome to The Leaky Nib.
Episode
12.
12. Whoop, whoop. What's going on, kid?
Oh, just, you know, drinking the coffee.
It's sponsored by Indie Coffee Roasters.
I wish. We love you, Indie Coffee Roasters. They're nearby to where we record, and we love their coffee. It is delightful.
It's fantastic.
We have about 4 to 5 inches of fluffy white stuff on the ground. So we're drinking coffee, not alcohol this time.
Yeah, there's not that much snow on the ground. Aren't you from Nebraska?
4 to 5 inches. It's fine. I just drove a pickup truck up here instead of my normal car.
The roads are plowed. It's fine.
Yeah, just getting out of my neighborhood was the only thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I drove a Ford F-250, bright red. Very
just
sexy.
Just leaning into that Hoosier.
It's Nebraska. Let's be real. I'm calling it Big Red.
Oh my, that's it?
The name of the truck. I'm going to call it Big Red.
That's such a great, like, old school name for it.
Big Red. It works. That's actually what we called my grandma's walker. She had a red, woolen walker.
That's a very uncool truck now.
I like it. I think it's cute. Anyway, what's new with you, John?
Oh, nothing much. Just getting ready for the holiday rush here and trying to get everything shipped out. The new Twisby Mint Blues are coming in.
I already pre-ordered
tomorrow,
mine.
Maybe.
I hope it's there because I would like it. I would like to have it.
What nib did you get?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just kind of order them willy-nilly when I pre-order.
I mean, some people, yeah, it's just like getting one is half the fun.
I mean, I have so many ecos at this point. I have all the nibs. I don't really care what it is.
Just swap them around. I have some insider news, by the way, on Twisby if you want to talk about it now or later.
Sure.
So, you know, the rose gold.
Yes, that I've been waiting patiently for.
Yeah, so they're coming out with a 580.
Uh-huh.
They're also coming out with an eco and a mini in rose gold.
Oh, 2020?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Allegedly.
I'll have one of all of those.
And what else fun?
Allegedly.
There might be another Aurora coming soon.
Are they black and rose gold?
Yeah, they're black and rose gold. I don't know if they're going to do
white.
Maybe a different color for the Eco and 580, but probably just black, the transparent black.
I would love it if they were white and rose gold, but I think a girl can dream on that.
They don't do a lot of solid colors anymore for limited edition.
I know, it's kind of annoying.
Anyway. It's the transparent thing, but they also have some new pens coming, so with number 6 nibs.
Oh, great, that's exciting. 2020 sounds like an exciting year for Twisby, huh?
I hope so, yeah.
Maybe they have inks now.
They're getting serious.
I mean, I love me some Twisby. Don't get me wrong. I have way too many ecos and 580s.
It's like everyone asks, what's the best beginner pen? I still always say that over like Lamy or Pilot even, just because it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think they're great. And being able to see your ink sloshing around in that demo barrel is just fabulous.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well, that's super exciting.
What, you went somewhere recently,
yes.
Right?
Well, since we last recorded, yes, I went to North Carolina a couple weeks ago and had the wonderful joy of visiting Franklin Kristoff.
Wow.
Yeah, so the whole idea was there's a lot in North Carolina in terms of people and pens and stuff. So we kind of all wanted to get together and get a chance to everybody to see each other. So I stayed with Sandra, WF Cupcake Girl, and I hung out with our friend of the show. WF underscore Cupcake Girl.
I thought
Girl.
It was WTF. Every time I read it, I see WTF
Cupcake
Girl.
No, it's for Wake Forest.
Fuck. WTF Cupcake Girl sounds way cooler.
No, it's
though.
WF Cupcake Girl. Anyway.
What the fuck? I'm sorry.
So we stayed with her. Friend of the show, Matthew Morse, and I and Sandra were like a trio that weekend. And we got to hang out with David Figboot. Shout out to David. We love him. He's fantastic. We ate crepes. Savory crepes. I had not savory crepes, too. Crepes. And then we got to drive out from Wake Forest, which is basically Raleigh. And we drove about an hour and a half to Greensboro to see Mike Madison and Audrey Madison and hang out with them.
Yes.
And we did a live stream on Mike's YouTube channel, youtube.com/inkdependence, and we live streamed out of the basement of the library of the University of North Carolina at Greensboro.
Nice.
It was fantastic.
I thought it was a black site. I thought it was an undisclosed location.
We were in the basement of the library.
Okay.
It was fantastic. Super, super fun. And we got to go see Scott Franklin at Franklin Christoph.
I saw a cool photo of a desk on Instagram.
If you actually go to my website, inkycatwrites.com, there's actually all the photos there that I took while I was there. But Scott gave us a tour of the current facilities, and they have shockingly outgrown them. Not shocking. They're amazing. They're huge and growing every moment. And so they're actually looking at building new facilities within Wake Forest or Raleigh. I think Wake Forest. But currently where they are, he showed us around. He has the desk his grandfather had
to do the business with.
Yep. And so Franklin Christoph is a brand that's existed since 1908,
really?
Something like that. 1901, and a fountain pen brand since 2001.
Nice.
And all of their pens are actually manufactured in North Carolina in their facilities.
So how many pen manufacturers are within the Carolinas? If you had to concentrate them, I mean, is it the highest concentration of pen makers?
I mean, so they're maybe the largest pen maker that's in North Carolina or in the Carolinas, because then you're getting into smaller pen makers. Matt Martin.
Is Brooks in North or South Carolina?
He's in Jonathan Brooks is in South Carolina.
But I mean, just between that area.
There's a lot of people there. I don't know how many makers are there.
Hmm.
But anyway, we got to see Franklin Christoph, and they do almost all CNC for precision across their pen making. So it's all CNC done and machined that way. And it's actually very involved and takes a lot of skill to run those machines and do the programming for that. So all those pens are designed actually by Scott. And their tolerances are very tight, so like all the pens,
so you get that really good threading.
Yeah, so they're pretty much perfect. But there's some hand lathe done too, which is really neat. So we got to see that whole process and picked up a couple pens while I was there.
Ooh, nice.
Let's be real.
You have to.
Yeah, I finally got a black pen.
Oh yeah.
Scott was laughing because, you know, they're known for their show prototypes, which are these crazy beautiful colors. But they started out as, you know, a black pen, you know, the really classic
just
stylings,
pens.
You know,
yeah.
Black and dark green and those really classic colors. And nobody really buys a black pen at a pen show because they're there for the prototypes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, Scott, can I just buy a black 45L? And he was like, yes.
Yes.
He was like, I love a black pen. I was like, clearly I love all black. So snagged one of those. Love it. Just a total blast.
What nib did you get?
My nib is a broad sig, so I got another broad sig.
Those are so good.
Tuned by Scott, you know, ground by Audrey and tuned by Scott.
Nice.
Yeah.
The sig nib is so freaking cool.
It is really wonderful. So it was a really special trip. Definitely go to inkycatwrites .com and check out all my pictures about the visit. It was really cool. So.
Worth the how long of a drive?
10 hours.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
But once you factor in traffic, it was like 12 hours.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of traffic in West Virginia. Also toll roads.
West Virginia is not fun to drive through.
I had never driven that way. So I'm so used to driving in the Midwest. I'm from Nebraska. Everything is 8 to 10 hours. So for me, I was like, oh yeah, 10 hours, whatever. I'm used to I-80 through Nebraska, which is flat and straight.
Mm.
For
you
10
90,
hours.
90 the whole way.
Right. This is curvy and up and down through mountains the entire time.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is different. I mean, sure, fine. This is fine. It was fine. My Acura liked it.
Oh, yeah. Better than driving it in Old Red or Big Red.
Big Red. Same thing.
Bubblegum. So we have this episode is going to be tentatively titled New Year's Resolutions. Because we want to talk about 2020, the end of a decade. Are you freaking out at all?
No, literally no.
Good, not either.
Could not wait.
Anymore.
Like
right,
I'm so ready.
Right. I think that's it. When you kind of wish you would have done things different, maybe you go, oh my God.
I'm happy with my 2010s as a decade, but like I'm ready for the 2020s.
Yeah. I'm ready to leave that dumpster fire behind. So
we're going to do some back and forth on our personal New Year's resolutions and then pen-related New Year's resolutions for the
That's
bulk of this
way
episode.
More interesting.
Yeah. So I think I just am looking at the show notes here, and we have a lot of similar things that we want to do personally next year.
I think so.
So, like, a big thing for me is travel. I want to travel more in 2020.
Where do you want to go?
So, for me, I think the biggest thing is I'm still getting used to, like, this whole work schedule thing. So, I think the big thing for me is just going to be traveling to more pen shows.
But you have weeks off, right? You have at least 1 week off at a time.
I do. So
you can do a lot of damage with that.
So I'm looking at, for sure, like, you know, 4 or 5 pen shows this year.
Mm-hmm.
So traveling for those. And then my friend Amy and I have actually been talking about going to Romania for October to celebrate Halloween in Dracula's castle.
Oh, that is fucking on brand for Kat.
So
that's
on brand.
Excellent.
So we were going to try and do it this year, but it got too busy. So Amy and I need to get wine with her and we need to discuss it. But tentatively hoping to go to Romania to celebrate Halloween in Bram Stoker's castle.
Eastern Europe sounds so fun.
Oh, I really want to do it. If not 2020, 2021, that's my goal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, more travel. What about you?
The Lady Lemur, at The Lady Lemur on Instagram, we're planning to go to Italy next year, next September. So, still kind of trying to figure out how we're going to manage Lemur for 2 weeks but while we're gone, but just kind of deal with it.
Not it.
Oh, I was going to ask you. Yeah.
That's exciting, though. Where
it'll
in
be
Italy
fun.
Are you going to go?
It's still sort of up in the air. We're going to be flying into Paris and doing 2 nights there, then going somehow to Florence, definitely, maybe Rome, and then Amalfi Coast.
Neat.
So.
Will you bring me back some wine, please?
Maybe. We're actually going to be in where they make Visconti's in Florence.
Ooh.
Stop. Like I.
So wanna... bring me back Visconti's and wine?
Yeah.
Hey, Visconti, you know we love you.
Yeah.
Speaking of Visconti, when I was in North Carolina, I saw one of David's limited edition Viscontis. That's like,
he has some killer ones.
Holy moly.
He has some killer ones.
Like a clear or like a whitish, almost quartz looking background with this dark, dark blue overlay.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like a swirl. And I think it was called like a water drop. I don't remember the name of it, but holy moly, it was beautiful. Like, yeah. I get it. I get the limited edition Visconti thing.
It's really, I'm just so glad I don't have the means or I don't know all the models. It's like, I'd rather just not know. It's just kind of over here.
Yeah, I immediately got that pulled up on my eBay watch list.
Oh, no, that's a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad.
So, pen shows, you want to travel.
Here it is. The Ripple Blue Filigree. Blue Filigree. The Ripple.
Let me see it.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
It's like...
That's killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just love the packaging they have, too. I mean, they have some really... Same with, like, Monte Grappa. Like, the pin comes in a box.
Mm-hmm.
And the box is a box.
Yeah. So, in addition to travel, I'm just looking forward to being more independent. #single again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to just doing things my way and just really embracing.
Good for you.
2020 yeah. is my year. I turn 30.
That's serious.
Next year.
Well, good. I mean,
it's not discuss
it's better,
how old I
it's
am,
better
but we
to
just discussed
find
it.
Yourself and be yourself in a year than.
I'm ringing in 2020 in my 30s, independent and living my best self. I'm looking forward to it. Oh, I own my own home. I own my own car.
Good job. Boop. I was basically filling out a dating app for you on Pender.
On Pender. I am seeking pen
seeking
enthusiast.
Seeking Arushi.
Seeking Rodden.
Rodden. ISO Rodden.
You don't have to be a man or a woman. You just have to be Rodden.
It is, yeah.
Mm. That's confusing. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
We need to discuss Pender with our next guest on the next episode.
Yes. Our next guest is another member of Pender.
Oh, my God. So, but I also saw furniture on here, which is hilarious because we're both mid-century enthusiasts. So, do you have any certain pieces or are you looking at taking any trips to find mid-century, or what's your goal for 2020?
Yes. So one of the reasons that I love the Lady Lemur is because she and I are both fanatics about mid-century modern furniture, and she actually helped me use her vehicle to pick up a pair of Gunlock chairs.
Those are great,
about
by the
a
way.
Month, thank you. About a month ago, solid walnut, beautiful chairs. I, in the process of being single again, finally got to buy all of the mid-century modern pieces I've been wanting because my ex did not like them, that style at all.
Monster.
So I have a stunning Danish teak couch now.
Also great.
I just got that sort of surfboard-esque coffee table for my basement. So my big thing I'm looking for is actually a mid-century modern home bar.
Like a drink cart or a bar?
No, a bar. Not a drink cart, like a standalone. You stand behind it and it's got the storage and then you can sit up against it on the front. Bar. They exist.
Really?
They're hard to find. Yeah. I found one in Las Vegas, but shipping will be potentially cost prohibitive, and the bar itself is solid walnut, and it's like $4,000.
We need to find one. Wright Auctions in Chicago does a live auction online. You can view it from like an iPad.
Oh, neat.
And bid online, but it's a dangerous place.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to also just be there when you
purchase it.
Because it's, you pay for it, but they have the good shit.
So, I part of the reason why I'm excited to be driving my father's F-250 this fall, winter, is because I can put furniture in the back of it.
Dude, that's so clutch.
Great.
Every single Penn show, or every time Abby and I are on the road, she looks on Facebook to find mid-century hotspots and will search the marketplace.
Yeah.
Go like, I found these great chairs.
Yeah, so I'm pretty good in terms of furniture, but I would like to get a bar. I have the bar stools. I got a set of 4 fiberglass bar stools from a 50s bowling alley.
Oh,
so
yes.
They're like mint and pink and they're freaking cool as hell. So my big goal is to get a bar so that I can then get my faux neon that says the Cat House.
Yes.
And then we are going to potentially move the Hoosier Pen Club home quarters to the Cat House.
Nice.
I'm going to put wood floors in my basement and just kind of have a cool hangout.
Nice. Nice.
So, what about you guys? What are you looking for?
Well, the thing with mid-century is you're never really looking. You're looking in general.
Yeah.
And it kind of finds you.
That's true.
A good deal. So you're like, I have a couch, but there's this other great couch. We could use 2 couches. And because you can't pass on good stuff.
No.
And if you're the first in line or you find it and it's like, holy shit, this is $5,000 and it's 800 here.
Yeah.
You're not going to not buy it.
Right.
You'll find a space for it. So that's kind of the fun with mid-century is it's all about the hunt. And Abby loves the hunt for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more about, where are we going to put that dresser? That's a great dresser, but like, you know.
But you guys are in general after surfboard furniture.
Yeah, And I like lighter teak or
walnut.
Yeah, we're looking for bedroom stuff right now, but.
That's hard.
A bar cart, I think. I want a mobile bar cart.
There was a bar cart in North Carolina that I was like, how do I get you home? You won't fit in my trunk.
That's why you need the truck.
I know. I wish I would have driven it, but it gets 8 miles to the gallon. So, anyway,
there's other mid-century enthusiasts out there. I know there's like pro, like high-end audio guys listening and obviously pen people, but the crossover.
There's got to be a lot of
crossover with mid-century stuff, especially it's just like vinyl.
Yeah.
And once you have that bug, it's like,
you're stuck.
And anyone who's like, I don't get it, how could you possibly be into that? Just say that out loud to yourself and say the same thing about pens. And you kind of go like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
I can't throw stones here.
Yeah. So what else are you looking to do in 2020 personally, John?
My thing I always try to say to myself is I want to be more deliberate about things. So
sure.
If we're going to watch a movie, I want to watch a movie. I don't want to fuck around on my phone,
right.
Half answering emails, half watching the movie or whatever. So
just be more present.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it too. Getting back into like playing guitar or other hobbies, you know, working out and just trying to be more mentally and physically conscious about things. So
cool.
You know, just stuff like that. We did a first time yoga, and I've done like a bunch of yoga stuff, like stretches, but never a full class. And it was really freaking cool. So
that's great. Like exercise yoga or yin yoga for stretching?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It was the intro to yoga class. So it was all the like
basic
stuff, but cool. It was great. And you feel like super relaxed coming out of it. It's not just like a normal workout where you're like
probably more yin than I like yin yoga for relaxation and stretching.
It was cool. That's I mean just in general, just trying to kind of take up more hobbies and
great,
like kind of like you said, trying to kind of find what interests you. And
sure,
how about you?
Yeah, that's those are my personal goals, but I have a lot of pen related goals because I don't know if you noticed, but the pen hobby is a big part of my life. So I have a lot of goals related to my pen hobby.
Like what?
So my first one that I wrote down here was journaling.
Yeah.
I need to pick a system and stick to it. So
yeah, that's, I share that sentiment.
In 2018, I was super diligent about my bullet journal. I did it every single day. I had monthly layouts, and it was a big like meditation and relaxation thing for me because I did a lot of creative artistic spreads. There's a ton of art in my 2018 Bujo, and then this year just kind of like, and yeah. I've basically been keeping track of my appointments through my Google Calendar.
Yeah, so like how do you have a or when you had a physical calendar, do you write it out and also put it in like Apple or Google?
No, I was paper only.
Paper only.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where you work and how you guys, do you guys operate like Google or iCal?
So we are Google Suite.
Okay. So if you had to do both, and I guess this is a good question for anyone listening, please DM us and let us know if you have like a calendar of appointments where, you know, it has to be digital. I have to get reminders on my phone or watch. But do you also copy that into physical planner?
So I think now my needs have shifted because I have a lot more stuff to remember to go to because my job is really different. When I was a resident, it was like,
go to hospital.
Yeah. Now it's like, you know, you work, but there's all these different meetings as part of being faculty. And
it'd be kind of impossible to have a paper, all that stuff on paper.
Right.
Only.
And there's so many conferences and things I have to attend or work on. And, you know, there's just a lot. So I think I've moved the calendar bit all the way digital, which is kind of hard and sad for me. But I still want to have some component of daily or mostly daily writing and journaling. So, you know, for the last couple months, all I've been using is just my traveler's notebook. And when I'm feeling feelings, I just write them.
Yeah.
But it's mostly just when I'm feeling sad and I have a lot of like emo writing. But I want to be more like, it's not as reflective as I'd like. So I'm looking at Mike's Cortex, like the theme system journal.
I haven't heard of that. No.
Mike Hurley of the Pen Addict and all of the things, that Mike. I bought his new notebook, the Theme System Journal, which is very like malleable to your own goals and your own way of thinking. And you can create a theme and basically you can daily write as much as you can. But it's written and done in such a way that if you miss a few days, it's not going to mess up your journal.
Right.
You fill in the dates and stuff.
Oh,
and
nice.
You kind of
make
it your own theme. And I think I'm going to try and figure out a way to theme that journal to work for me. Basically like positives and negatives and things I'm thankful for that day. And try and write in it as many days as I can in a week, but not be mad at myself if I miss days.
Yeah, it's easy to beat up on yourself about missing something. My thing is just having like, okay, this journal is what I actually journal in. And then here's the journal I write lists in or whatever, like a bullet journal. But then you end up having five journals and you're like, well, which one do you write it in? And like, I don't want to scribble my thoughts in here. This is my good journal. It's like having the good towels at home that you're not supposed to use. Like, what are you doing with it? Like, freaking just use it. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, some golden thing that you're not allowed to touch.
And I think that I don't know, we'll see. I think I'm going to continue to word vomit my sad thoughts into my traveler's notebook, but I think I'm going to try and be more diligent with the theme system journal. So we'll link that in the show notes.
So besides journaling, I know we both have, I mean, you have a collection of pens, personal pens greater than me, but like, what are you trying to hone down? What's your like goal in honing? Or do you have a goal?
In terms of pens or ink or what?
Yes.
I'm not really trying to hone it down. I guess, I don't know. I'm just trying to be more specific in what I buy and try to not get caught up too much in FOMO and really just try and pick unique pieces that complement my collection in a way that are unique.
Are you selling the Montblanc Beetles? That's all I care about.
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to sell anything in my collection. I just want to make sure my acquisitions continue to be more specific and more focused.
Oh, so that, fair enough. Yeah.
Rather than like more acquisitions that are kind of broad, I really want to try and stay within what I really like.
Right.
So for me, that's going to be more limited edition sailors that are probably unique to Japan. And I'm looking at getting into some more unique limited edition, kind of higher end pieces through Nakaya and Visconti. Yeah. And unfortunately, this whole character carry thing has really messed me up. Because now I'm aware of all of these beautiful
it isn't good.
Limited edition Monte Grappa and Visconti and Aurora pens. And now I'm like, oh.
So it's a dangerous world, but there's
I just want all my acquisitions for someone to look at them and be like, oh, yeah, that seems like you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's kind of my goal. Same with my inks and my paper. I just kind of, I want to keep it very honed in on my own personal brand, I guess.
Right, right.
Yeah, so, yeah. What about you, John?
As far as honing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty slow on my acquisitions. I just got a Music Nib Platinum.
Oh, yay. Congrats. 3776.
How do you like it? I haven't inked it yet. I'm waiting. I have some tasks on my to-do list. I'm waiting until I complete those for me to ink it. It's a sort of a personal goal. But it's black with rhodium with the Music Nib, and it's going to get some Ackerman ink in it.
Which Ackerman?
I think Shocking Blue.
Oh, number 5?
Yeah. I think that's correct. Yeah.
Cool.
So we just got Ackerman, so I'm still learning the names. I'm not going to try and pronounce them. It's just the number system is a lot easier.
I like that ink. That's a nice blue.
Yeah, it's got some sheen to it, too.
Yeah.
Which I love, especially in a Music Nib. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, I don't really have any other goals. I mean, I have some, like, personal pens I might get rid of, just a couple of vintage pieces and whatever, just to kind of keep it simple. But really just acquisition, I think the next big acquisition for me is going to be a large size pen, like a 149 or an 1000.
Okay, because that's you wrote something grailish.
We're going to talk with our next guest about this because we're on the same page.
I saw you wrote something grailish this year. What are your grail pens? What are your grail pens right now, John?
Probably a dorsal fin to Nakaya or a M1000.
Which M1000?
King of Pen. The most basic M1000, which is going to be whichever one I can find for the cheapest, because I'm all about that nib. So I want a broad, and that's about it.
Do you know what, like, general color-wise you want it to be?
Yeah. If someone has a green stripe one that's cheaper than a blue stripe one, then I'll take that. But I kind of like the traditional green and blue with, like, the gold trim. Mm-hmm. It's so 1980s to me, and I just kind of love that.
Okay.
And, I mean, an M1000 is so impractical. But that's kind of what I love about it. So
it's a beautiful pen.
And, you know, and to daily carry something like that's insane.
I mean, you can daily carry anything.
Exactly. So
you're looking at a dorsal fin 2 or a M1000.
Hecatomineri, dorsal fin 2. I saw one for sale, and the price is still not too high for me to be able to swallow it without wanting to choke. So, yeah, exactly. And then, I think a King of Pens kind of next, but that's not as grailish. I guess it's the same as an M1000 in price, roughly. But, cracking that, $500, $600 range, $800 range is going to be a big one for me.
Yeah, 'cause you don't personally have any pens in that price point.
No, just a lot of inventory in that price point. But yeah,
join us. It's a scary price point to crack, I will say.
Yeah, and I get it. I'm just always sort of like, I could purchase that much inventory, or I could buy this pen. Like, which one do I do?
Yeah, sure.
And right now, growth of Lemur in 2020 is more important than me having another pen with a broad nib. So as much as I want it, but.
What are you looking at doing with Lemur in 2020, John?
I think the growth's going to be more exclusive, more new product lines, trying to expand and kind of still keep growing at this nice steady rate, which has been great, and go to more pen shows. So next year we're doing more pen shows than ever.
Great.
And doing, Atlanta with you, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'll be at Atlanta.
Philly is the first one of the year, and then Baltimore. I'm doing both those.
Great.
Flying to those. Then what else?
Bunch Chicago, of others. Triangle. Are you going to go to Triangle?
Not sure yet. Mm. That's that one. Triangle and Dallas are still kind of up in the air. but as is like DC.
Gotcha.
If I can get a table at DC.
Cool. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
I saw on here that you said something about nib tuning for next year.
Oh, I want to learn.
Okay.
I mean, I've taken Bender's class twice, so I mean, I can do some minor fixes, but I want to take the intensive like 3-day class with him, or go to a week somewhere and study with someone and actually learn how to do it.
That's awesome.
Just because, I mean,
just tuning, not grinding.
Grinding eventually, but I mean, I have to see just how good I can get just at tuning first, and then once I get that done, kind of see where I'm at. But just basically doing quality control,
yeah,
testing, and trying to make things work better,
sure,
is the big goal. Not really repairs, not grinding's not really on the top of my list.
You just want to be able to say if someone comes to the Hoosier Pen Club and says, "Hey, my pen isn't right."
Yeah, I mean, I can make it somewhat right now, but I want to like really do it properly so that it passes the like, you know, Nibmeister seal of approval.
Cool. That's a cool goal to have.
I mean, yeah.
And that's probably something that'll be ongoing for you, you know.
It's definitely a practice. I mean, you're not just like, you can't just suddenly do it after taking, you know, one Bender class or
sure.
doing mm-hmm. it a couple of times. It's definitely a skill.
Yeah. No, I think that's
and
cool.
after watching like a pro do it, you go.
Oh, yeah.
Or like really riding with like a Bacchus nib, you're like, holy shit, this is really freaking good.
Yeah. No, totally. I think that's an awesome goal to have. I don't have that goal for next year, but I have the goal of trying to write more snail mail. I have acquired a few snail mail buddies, and I apologize to those of you whose letters are on my desk and I haven't replied back. But I would like to write more
letters. What do you write on?
I write on Midori MD Cotton. I have an A5
Ooh,
pad.
Nice.
I like it. I can write on both sides. It's really comfortable, and it fits nicely in my G. Lalo envelopes I bought from you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So you don't match the envelope with the paper necessarily.
No.
But it's close enough.
Brian Chu, friend of the show, told me that you can make your own, and I'm like, maybe going to look into doing that for next year. I need him to show me or teach me again how to do that. Make your own envelopes.
Oh, yeah.
But I use Midori MD Cotton. That's just my hands down favorite paper and my go-to for writing. And then I have been finding that as a good use for all of my washi tape because I have so much washi tape from the bullet journal thing, which now I don't bujo. So I have just a crap load of washi tape. So I've been using that on the envelopes that I write to people and kind of just jazzing up their letters with washi tape and trying to do that some more and buying unique stamps from the post office. So I actually bought like 3 sheets of the Halloween stamps.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So y'all are going to be getting Halloween year round because that's on brand for me.
they had some like great John Lennon ones too.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go online at USPS, you can buy them. I think they even ship for free or like $2, but the ones online are way better than the ones inside the post office.
Well, a lot of times, actually, my post office has them.
Which one do you go to?
The one in Broad Ripple.
Like downtown
54th
Broad Ripple?
And Rural.
Keystone?
Yeah, over there. Keystone, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that one sucks.
No, they're great.
The one in downtown Broad Ripple is like a really old school building and super cool, by the way.
Oh, I like...
Much better than the Bacon one.
I like my one because they always have what I need and they are short wait lines.
Did you know it's called Bacon?
That one on 54th and Keystone? Cool.
It's just called Bacon.
I go to the
Bacon. In the postal system, it's called Bacon.
Well, John would know because he hangs out at post offices
That's all I do.
All the time.
That's all I do, yeah. I'm telling you. It's freaking weird. I'm like, welcome to the Bacon post office. I'm like, no one's going to say anything? Really? No one?
So we will have to get a P.O. box or something this year so people can write us.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I think that actually would be kind of fun.
That would be kind of cool,
like,
actually.
Like, encourage the snail mail. There we go. We just came up with a leaky nib goal for next year. We're going to get a P.O. box so you guys could send us physical letters.
I mean, that's better. That's more reasonable and feasible than my idea for a goal for 2020 for leaky nib, which was to have NetJets sponsor us. So.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
You don't know that. Visconti and Montegrappa, I know you're listening. You totally can sponsor us.
We would love you to sponsor us.
I don't sell your pens yet, but we will sponsor.
We will love you. I'm personally going to purchase Montegrappa more and Visconti more this year anyway. Oh, I have my first Montegrappa pen, by the way.
Is that the one I wrote with at dinner?
It is.
That's really good.
Montegrappa in lilac. And it's a piston filling pen. It's ratcheting. So when you twist the piston, it like clicks and it's super satisfying. And it's in lilac, which is gorgeous. And I love it. And it writes amazing. And it's a steel nib pen and it is just killer. So
was that tuned or is that factory?
I actually got it from Susie Scribbles, so I would assume it's out of the box, but I don't know that for a fact. But their pens good. Write stunningly out of the box, so it's a good one. But yeah, so I'm in the process of ordering a new return address stamp with my new last name.
Nice. You know you can make your own?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
It looks time intensive.
I want to let someone else do that.
Is it like the Office Max one that like rotates?
No.
The one that like the little...
I'm getting a cute one with a cat face.
Oh, nice.
Because, again, me. So we'll see and I'll...
Excellent.
If we are able to secure a P.O. box, you can see my return address stamp next year.
That'd be fun.
Let's do it. So I actually had some ideas for things that we could all try for 2020. Some New Year resolution challenges that you and I could participate in and our listeners could potentially consider. So there's, you know, a lot of different things people talk about doing. One is the ink bottle challenge, where you pick a bottle of ink for the year and you try and finish it.
Hmm. I'm definitely going to beat that one a lot.
Do you?
Yeah.
Like, which one?
I mean, every bottle I open, I sample it out.
That doesn't count, John.
I shouldn't have told you my plan, but yeah, I have pipettes. I can empty a bottle in like 5 minutes or less.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Yeah.
So I
But you won't know that. I'll win the competition.
And so I thought about like doing this as potentially, you know, picking what I think is my favorite bottle and intentionally trying to finish it that year. Across a bunch of different pens, and so we'll see.
I think we should actually try and have a real challenge where the winner gets something.
We'll have to discuss this after this episode.
But or find like the smallest bottle possible, so you can say I finished 10 bottles of ink.
I finished it, but
yeah,
because I thought about like, oh, I could try and finish one of my Sailor Ink Studios, but those are only 20 mils.
Yeah.
So. I mean, even that, though, that's still a challenge for me, given my goal is also to use all of my inks and not forget about them.
Right. So
another idea I had for those of us who are challenged in the sticking to one ink category, which is all of us, is a one pen for the whole year, like a daily / yearly carry. So in addition to your rotating lineup of multiple pens, picking one pen that you carry every single day for the whole year.
Okay, so clarification on this. Does that mean you only use that pen during most writing and correspondence?
No, it's just that you have it with you every single day.
That's it.
Yeah. Like it has a permanent spot in your pen case.
Hmm.
So in theory, you would write with it most days as part of your rotating lineup. You know, I think that's like a fun idea because I don't know about you, but I carry about 10 pens with me every day.
Yeah.
So having one of those slots being the same pen.
For every day.
Every day. It's so always in your pen case ready to go.
Because I have like 5 pens that I rotate out of that one spot.
Yeah.
Where you have like, this is your daily driver.
Yeah.
And mine's either a Lamy 2000, a Vanishing Point, or a Platinum.
Uh-huh.
And it rotates out of amongst those pens.
I think that the idea would be you carry one pen, the same pen, and then like your other ones all rotate around.
Yeah.
So
that seems reasonable.
I think I'm going to try and do it. And I think it might be my Platinum Galaxy that is my daily, every single day pen. Because it is one of my, if not my favorite pen that I own.
Yeah.
It's, you know, black, rotten, with a broad nib.
It basically looks like a galaxy and it's amazing.
Yeah. And it's really pleasant to write with. And basically, since I purchased it, it has been paired with my Vaness Inktober. Black ink, and for whatever reason that just is a like my jam. And I mean, in theory, whatever your yearly carry pen is, you could put different inks in it, so I could potentially change my ink about, you know, however many times I wanted. But
I think it'd be hard to have just the same ink and the same pen all year.
I don't know, I've had the same pen with the same ink in my purse since September, and I've been fine with it. So
yeah, I say that, but some people only use like blue black.
Yeah. So
or
I mean,
pile black or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like they don't use any other ink in any other pen ever.
Yeah, which I think is super cool, and I think for those people, the ink bottle challenge is very doable.
Yeah, it should really be whatever is not doable for you should be
the challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who rotates through all of my pens all the time, I think for me to have at least one that is always with me every single day is going to be kind of fun.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't think it's a very unreasonable challenge. I think the idea of just having something where you're like, this is with me, I write with it. More important than like just trying to have that, like you said, kind of like that FOMO where you're like, I have 20 pens, but I don't really write with any of them in particular.
I think I'm just going to say, this is the pen I'm always going to have with me. And it may as well be my platinum because I spent enough money on it. I should carry her with me.
And you should totally, exactly. I think all of us in our group enjoy the pens we buy. We don't just sit them on the desk. So that kind of goes without saying. But if you're one of those people who does buy it and you're like, I'm afraid to carry it or use it, like, don't be.
Yeah.
It's fine. I can take it.
Funny anecdote. I'm going to pause in the middle of my ideas I had was I'm refinancing my house and was talking to my insurance agent about insurance like policies. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm looking at taking out a special policy on my pens. And he was like, huh?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I wanted to get an insurance policy on my fountain pens, blah, 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 blah. Because I think if you have collections like a lot of us do, it's not unreasonable to actually have those be insured specifically as a separate little policy within your overall renters or in homeowners insurance policy, something to consider for 2020. But anywho, he was like, oh, like how much is the value of your collection? And I was like, huh?
Don't calculate that number.
I have to for the insurance policy.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's like the most expensive pen in your collection? And I told him and he goes, it's a fountain pen?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, uh-huh. And he's like,
yeah.
And you write with it? Uh-huh. Do you take it out of the house? Uh-huh. He was just like,
they will not insure that.
No, he said they will.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it a separate policy?
Uh-huh. He had to reach out to the underwriters. He was like, I don't know how to do
that. That's something I'll ask my insurance guy sometime and we'll like have like maybe like a Q&A. But most people think it's covered under renters or homeowners. And I assure you.
It's not.
It is not.
Especially if it goes separate policy.
Yeah, it's got to be like a rider.
Yep.
But because it's almost like jewelry, they will just not cover it.
So I actually have to provide them with a list of all of the fountain pens, their descriptions, and like worth.
Yeah.
And then they'll be able to insure them.
And it's also good, just kind of as a side note, if you do have that list somewhere, if your pens get stolen out of your car, you can file that with your auto insurance. But if you don't have a list and you can't prove that the list was made not the same freaking day,
right,
then you're kind of up shit creek. I mean, you need to have something.
Yeah. So, I mean, we always laugh about like, don't total up your collection and don't like actually see how much money you have in pens. But I think it's actually valuable to keep a running list of everything.
I mean,
you
maybe
own
it
and
is.
Values.
I mean, you know, I say this as John and also John as Lemur, but like knowing how much you spend on pens. I mean, nobody should go bankrupt buying fountain pens.
No.
And if you're like, hey, I've spent too much last year on pens, scale it back, sell some stuff and go, hey, maybe now I can buy this Grail pen rather than 10 smaller pens.
Yeah.
Whatever's important to you. But like, yeah, knowing your total isn't that big a deal.
No, I agree. And I think that seems reasonable. So that was just an aside because I was thinking about, my daily.
That's something. It is serious. Some people should really seriously consider it because
as a separate policy. I mean, it's not going to be that much more money to have my pens separately insured, you know. But I'm like thinking, okay, well, what's in my purse right now makes me want to vomit if it were to be lost.
Right.
And I think that my daily/yearly carry is probably going to be my platinum. So I think it's worthwhile to consider that insurance piece as well.
Consult your insurance agency.
Right.
We are not professionals.
Nope.
Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Asterisks, not professionals.
Yeah.
Do not take this as advice for your life. But
right.
Consider it. And I thought if you cannot be dedicated to one pen for the entire year, that it stays with you every single day for 365 days, I also thought you could do a modified version called the 12 pen challenge in my mind, where you pick one pen a month for the whole year. So each month you have a dedicated pen that is with you every single day. But you get to change. So like January, your pen is whatever.
I like that.
And then that allows you to still have more flexibility. Now, for me, I carry 8 to 10 pens at a time. So to have one that stays with me for 365 days is not a big deal. But if you're like John and you only carry 3 or 4 pens in a day, maybe doing one every month, but still having that be a dedicated pen for that month, I think is a cool way to use your pens and be more intentional and making sure that they get dedicated attention.
And pen maintenance.
And also
Catherine.
Clean. What? I clean my pens, mostly. I had a nightmare that I didn't.
That means you don't clean them.
I did open something
that's someone trying to tell you something.
I had opened a pen. What pen was it? It had purple ink all over it. Like it had done that like nib creep thing.
Uh-huh. Ugh. And it's not purple in there right now. And you're like, where did that come from?
Yeah. It's fine. So those are my thoughts for us all as a goal for 2020, thoughts we could work on. Let us know what you are going to do for your 2020. I want to see if there's anything else we could all do.
Especially with like planning and journaling and calendars and stuff. I'm really curious.
Yeah. And I love hearing what people are attempting to do and what they set their minds to for 2020. So.
All right. So we need to talk about back to basics.
Our back to basics topic this week is
paper.
How does paper impact your writing experience?
This is very interesting because I misread this one in the show notes. It's not about how the paper performs. It's about how it feels to you writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very interested in your preferences, Miss Catherine.
So I think that... paper can be, when you're first starting out, which is the idea of this topic, is for people back to basics, starting back at the beginning, is considering that paper does actually impact your experience. It can impact how your pen feels, how your flow feels, how your ink dries, how your ink writes. Do you think your ink feathers a lot? Well, maybe it's your paper.
Right. I think a lot of people don't consider it. Mm-hmm. I always forget that.
I think the paper is an underestimated part of the equation. I don't know about you. Well, I know about you because I know what paper you use at work because your work is Lemur.
Mm.
You actually use good
Rhodia.
Paper.
Normally Rhodia.
Yeah. I
blow through a Rhodia pad pretty freaking
quickly.
Fast. Yeah.
So I have to use the actual shittiest Staples copy paper at work.
All right. Tell the listeners what you did once with HP paper at work and that you got...
So I found that paper is a huge part of my experience and how I feel about writing. And I really don't like to write on Staples copy paper because it makes all of my pens bleed. They write broader than they are. And so I brought in a ream of HP number 32 inkjet paper. Stunning, awesome paper. It's bright white.
It's really good.
It's like $14 for a ream of 500. Mm-hmm. If you're just getting into paper and you're looking for something more affordable and you have an inkjet at home, strongly recommend it. I took it into work, and every time I printed out my list for the day, because what we do is we print out a list of patients and then I kind of write notes on it throughout the day. You know, I look up their labs and vitals in the morning and then make myself a list of things to do for each patient and stuff, and like what I'm billing them and everything. I would put the HP paper in and print my list on it. Apparently that messed up the rollers on the...
That's complete false.
They said that I messed up the rollers on the printer and made them squeaky and like make a smudge. And then I was banned from using that paper.
Maybe because it's laser. I know I think the HP paper works on laser because I've printed it on laser before and it's fine and it doesn't jam. So
I was told that my paper was the cause of the problems.
Yeah, that's it. Hewlett-Packard's paper is not good.
It's fantastic. So
yeah, but I mean, the gall they have.
I bought the Kokuyo paper thinking that would be a nice solution because it's thinner than the HP 32 paper, but it's an A4 paper, and that's not an 8.5 by 11. So
well, you know, there's HP 24 also.
Yeah, so that's going to be what I buy.
Yeah, that's really good. And I strongly advise buying that stuff. And then you can print like your own letterhead or if you use it for anything professionally like I do. You can then have good fountain pen paper.
So I think my suggestion to you is if you're new to fountain pens or new to the idea of paper, explore and see what you personally like because it will impact your writing experience.
Yeah. If you're like this ink feathers or this nib feathers, no, it's probably the paper.
Mm-hmm. It can significantly change how you think an ink performs and looks too.
Yeah, and this is without even getting into like paper qualities or coated versus uncoated, but just trying, different stuff. I mean, it's a total game changer on performance.
Is your favorite paper Rhodia?
No. I just have a lot of it and use it daily. It's cost effective. I haven't found my favorite paper yet. I think Tomoe River 52 is probably up there, but I don't like how thin it is.
Have you tried the 64 GSM?
It's not as good as the 52, but I like the thickness.
Mm. What is your problem with the thinner Tomoe?
It always gets crumbled when I'm flipping through pages like a madman. So
I see.
I need something a bit more durable. And I actually kind of like coated paper.
Okay.
I know coated paper kind of gets shit on a bunch, but...
Meaning like a Rhodia that's a little bit more slick.
Yeah, or like what's the memo sign?
Oh, I don't know that paper.
I think those are coated. We don't carry those yet, but they don't show as so coated paper won't show the kind of like sheen and shading as crazy.
I think my complaints with Rhodia is it's so smooth that I don't feel any texture or feedback in the paper. So I actually really enjoy Midori MD cotton because I actually get a little bit of that feedback. It's the same reason I like Sailor pens. Uh-huh. I like that feeling of writing on it.
And I'm looking more for like ice skating with butter.
Yeah,
on
so
my
John
skates.
In general, his preferences are exactly that. Which is why he writes with broad pilot nibs, because he wants no feedback, the smoothest of all smooth. And I like Sailor nibs and Platinum nibs and Midori MD cotton paper.
See, I love my Platinum broad, and I think the music nib's gonna be just what
stunning,
I want.
Stunning,
It's more I really kinda need to reevaluate what it is I like about writing, because I do just kind of write with like whatever's on hand.
And there are sampler packs a lot of different companies make of different paper types. There's actually one that Dromgool sells that I actually have in my cart right now. That's a sampler pack of a bunch of different Japan papers that I'm meaning to try, because it really does impact your writing just as much as anything else. So I'll make sure that I link that.
Definitely, definitely try new types of paper.
I will say that I have been thoroughly enjoying what Daryl is doing with Musubi and his Labs imprint. Because like I've mentioned, I've tried his unbleached bamboo paper and the Spica Bond paper. I've discovered I do not like bank paper.
Really?
Interestingly. Yeah. But a lot of people do like bank paper.
It's so good.
It's just a fun thing. If you haven't gotten into paper, it is worth checking out at least to get a couple of preferences and upgrade your paper.
Yeah, and there's more than just Rhodia and Tomoe River. Mm-hmm. There are other options out there.
It is a deep, dark hole that I'm afraid
into. That's kind of why I'm just sticking with like over. I'm just kind of over here holding on the guardrail.
It's like, oh God.
Yeah, I don't want to go out. I know.
For our character Carrie to round out this episode, we're going to do Santa and Mrs. Claus.
Yes, all the way from the North Pole.
What's up, guys? So just like we did for Halloween and the devil, what pens and ink would Santa and his wife be carrying? Go ahead, John.
Do you know how bad I want to scream Monte Grappa Chaos right now?
Why would Santa have a Monte Grappa Chaos? That's not on brand for him. Come on, John.
It's just funny. I mean, Santa would have like, I don't know what's the most ridiculous. He's the pencil guy.
No.
He's totally the pencil guy.
No way.
Doesn't he give people lumps of coal?
If they're bad.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's not carrying a fountain pen.
Santa,
he rides in a sleigh with reindeers.
Day a year, John.
How inefficient is that?
The rest of the year, he literally is maintaining a giant list.
He doesn't have elves maintain it?
He maintains a list. What
do you think
he does?
Actually does all that work himself?
Yes, for 364 days, because he has the powers of knowing if you're good or you're bad. So he's maintaining the list. He's updating it when there's new children, when the children become off the list.
I think there's a lot of middle management that maintains that list.
In my opinion, that is the Santa benefit, is he can tell if they're good or bad, and he's the one maintaining the list. And then he has management overseeing the elves and making of the Christmas presents. So to me, he needs a pen that can withstand that.
No, he's just a slave driver. I mean, those elves are not compensated. They're He has him in a tax haven of the North Pole. I mean, this guy's operating completely off the grid. I think he has mead pencils with elves sharpening them, and he just has a line of them.
So I disagree with you completely.
I know you do.
So I think that Santa...
I'm taking a different angle
Santa
here.
Is holly jolly and fantastic. He is the epitome of Christmas. He has to have something wonderful
That's what he wants you to think.
Write with every single day and maintain this list. So I have a link to three choices, and I think realistically he probably has all three of those. So the first one is the classic Namiki Emperor in Vermilion Urushi, which is available from lemurink.com. You like that?
I do. I do.
So that's a gigantic pen because he's a big man. I think it'll suit his large hands. And it's an eyedropper, so he will have the ink capacity he will need to maintain. And it's red. Now, it's not the perfect red, but I think it'll work well. And he would pair it with Robert Oster peppermint ink, which is a green with
I
a
like
red
that.
Sheen.
So I like that.
That's option numero uno.
Okay.
Option numero dos,
okay.
Which I think he has as well, is the Nakaya Decapod Twist Cigar in Akatama Nuri.
Because
it's red.
Yep.
And he's going to pair it with another green ink, probably one of the new Diamine Ink Vent inks.
But hold on. Doesn't he make everything in-house? Isn't that kind of the thing? Is that, he doesn't import like toys from, like PlayStations from Japan. He makes the PlayStation there.
But you do know he's going to import these high-end, beautiful Japanese pens.
He doesn't have the elves make them?
No way. He's going to get high-end, beautiful pens from these wonderful pen makers. He doesn't have an Urushi lacquer specialist
on staff. You don't know how good those elves are at Urushi, all right?
Well, I think he's going to have Diamine Ink Vent Elf from day 11 in his Decapod Twist. And then the third pen I found while searching for limited edition pens is a Nakaya, what is it called? It is the Nakaya Long Cigar Nanten Karakusa. Oh boy. Nanten is a sacred bamboo something or other. I don't know. Let me just describe it to you. It is a silver pen. It is actually painted with platinum powder, and it has colored Urushi lacquer on top. And when you look at it, it says it's like bamboo seeds, but to me, it literally looks like holly, like with red, berries and green leaves on a silver pen. It is incredible. And I mean, if you're Santa, you can afford it.
You have such a different image of Santa than I do.
Clearly. But I think that he would also have that pen. So he would have, I think he has high-end Japanese Urushi lacquer pens because he's fancy. John thinks he's a slave driver.
Fountain pens don't work in the North Pole. It's cold there.
It's not cold inside. He's inside in his office with his fireplace behind him and his hot cocoa. Haven't you watched The Santa Claus?
No. He's a slave driver.
No.
Operating in a tax-free zone.
No.
Off the grid.
No.
He's basically a cult leader at this point.
No. You're wrong. Fine. John refuses to participate. Those are my answers. He has all sorts of merry, wonderful inks.
Actually, I was going to say something like an emperor before, but I changed my tune right when we started. I had either Platinum Carnelian, a Vermilion Urushi pen, or that's it. What other great red pens are there?
I mean, lots, but stick to your guts, John.
I'm saying he's a pizza pencil user.
No. Fine. What does Mrs. Claus carry, John?
Well, she would have the nicer pen. She would have something because she'd get whatever the dead elves that died on the factory line making produced.
Oh my God.
And she'd have like the best one. So think, she gets to pick whatever she wants or rejected from like bad kids. So like maybe Jimmy was going to get a Mont Blanc pen, but then he like stabbed his brother and now he's not getting it. So then that pen was already made in production. It gets pulled off the line. Jimmy's name gets crossed off. She now has a Mont Blanc that's unaccounted for.
So in your mind, these pens are all made in the North Pole and they have their own factories. They're not sourced.
Right.
Okay, well.
Yeah, they don't make anything. They make everything in-house. In-house nibs, everything.
I thought she would have the new Pelican Star Ruby because it is a nice size.
Or that.
And it's sparkly.
But it'd be the copy of it.
No.
It'd look exactly like it.
But it would be made in the North Pole, not purchased from lemurink.com.
No, it even says made in Germany. It looks exactly like the one. They're basically operating in China. They copyright. They have no copyright law. They make everything identical.
I hate your answers.
I know you do. I know I'm getting teased so much.
I hate your answers.
It's also Santa's not real.
So my answers are correct and John is wrong. Please sound off in the comments. Please let us know by replying to our...
I'm just grouchy. Just pissing in the Cheerios of the holiday spirit.
Well,
I'm sorry.
I have the holly jolly spirit and...
What would Mrs. Claus have?
I said Star Ruby.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Durr. And okay. She would also have green. I think she would use Grand...
Oh, yeah. The ink in it, though.
Dash, Vibrant Green.
I like it. It's very cheery.
It's a beautiful green with red.
What would... So green ink for both.
Yeah. Because they're going to have red pens.
Perfect.
Durr.
What do the elves write with?
The elves actually probably use pencil because they're predominantly doing things that they need to erase and correct.
On the factory line. What kind of hours do you think they have?
I mean, so they're probably shift work. So there's probably like, you know, night shift, third, you know, there's three shifts.
Yeah. No one thinks about the elves.
There's probably like eight hour shifts and there's three of them working.
I heard 14 hour shifts, but.
I mean, I don't know. But I think they are predominantly sourcing blackwing pencils because that ferrule, the way that it lays, prevents them from rolling off the counter.
Yeah. Wait, that's a really good... Is that why they have that?
I'm not sure if that's why it was originally designed, but in my mind,
really
that's
smart.
Why.
Yeah, absolutely.
Elves would use them. And I'm guessing they have some custom deal with blackwing to provide like mass amounts of blackwing pencils, and they're going to be red and green and gold. Gold ferrules, and you know, it's either the red body with the green eraser or vice versa, and the gold ferrule up at the North Pole. That's my mind.
Whatever you want to sleep at night, sure. I still think they source everything up there and it comes out of magical territory.
Well,
but
that's fine.
You know,
you can tell us all we're wrong by replying to our story.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to think here. I think. If I really had to guess, it'd be more like the devil where it's sourced from like dead reindeer antlers.
Oh my gosh.
And the pen is made from reindeer antler.
Oh.
And it has magical qualities. But, I mean, because think he has to write how many lists for each kid. So.
I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. Send us your hate mail.
Yeah. Or probably both wrong.
Yeah. So. Do we want to talk about who our next guest is and what we're doing in the next episode?
So,
a little preview?
Yeah. Coming up in our next episode, we actually are having local Hoosier Pen Club aficionado and math professor Chris Caravana on the show. And we will be drinking in the new year together.
Yes, that'll be a fun
one.
So
if you're listening to this, you can shoot us your questions for Chris. He is a big fan of the large pens and has many pens that are very oversized.
I think he carries a King of Pen in his front pocket. So he's the guy who...
he carries that Armando Simone Club Arco Green, I think, every day, probably.
Yeah, he's going to penable me into getting something massive, like an M1000 or King of Pen soon, I think.
Yeah, so look forward to that episode with Chris coming up soon and celebrating in the new year. That'll be released on around New Year's Eve.
Yeah, so if you have any other New Year's resolutions you want to send us, we can read them next episode maybe, or if they're good.
Yeah. So thanks for hanging out with us. This has been another great episode, episode 12.
We're getting up there.
No, we're not.
Next one's 13.
Woo!
Lucky 13.
You can follow me on Instagram at InkyCatWrites and follow my website, InkyCatWrites.com.
I'm LemurInk on Instagram and Twitter. I don't know why I plug Twitter. I think I did it on another episode. If you want to start tweeting at me, you can. But on Instagram at LemurInk, LemurInk.com is my website. I sell fountain pens and things there.
And you can follow us on Instagram at The Leaky Nib and see our website with updates at theleakynib.com, where we will have updated show notes. And yes, we are trying to do better at that. Anyway, thanks for listening and have a great week. We'll see you next time, guys.
See ya.
Bye.